Welcome, everyone. Today, we are excited to have Paul Latta visit our program. Paul has been working for over 25 years in cutting-edge medical research companies to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. Paul's focus has been to search for ways to protect islet cells, which are insulin-producing cells, by encapsulating them. This type of treatment would allow people with type 1 diabetes to no longer rely on insulin injections. It would effectively cure type 1 diabetes. The process can get fairly involved, so let's welcome Paul to the show so that he can explain his work in further detail. Paul, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. We are pleased to have you on our program.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate the invitation. I'm happy to talk to your listeners.
Okay, first off, Paul, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work in the diabetes medical research field?
Sure. Well, it's a kind of a long, involved story, but the short version of it is that I was not in this field at all for the early part of my business career until my daughter was diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic at age 9, now some 27 years ago. And so I immediately started researching the field. Fortunately, I was in St. Louis, my hometown at the time, and I went down to Washington University in St. Louis and found out that one of the top islet research programs in the world under Dr. Paul Lacey and Dr. David Sharp at WashU was working on effectively a cure for the disease. So I got involved with those two doctors and volunteered my time to help them with business kinds of issues because they didn't like to do those things, and that was my background in business. And so I got involved, and I got a little more involved as time went on, and I really thought I could contribute to their work by helping them with business issues. So I sold my business interests in St. Louis and went to work as a volunteer in the labs of Dr. Lacey and Dr. Sharp at WashU. Spent about 10 years there and actually went into the labs and learned to do a number of the procedures because I was ignorant of how to do medical research, scientific research in the lab. So I wanted to learn to be able to talk about it intelligently, so we went into the labs there, and I learned to do some of the animal work, and in Dr. Sharp's lab, we did dogs and primates and up to human islet transplantation. This was in 1986 and 87, actually, I started it. And so I spent a number of years there learning the trade, if you will, and working on business issues, and then when Dr. Lacey retired and Dr. Sharp went to California to a biotech company, I came down to Miami, Florida, where Dr. Camillo Ricordi, who I had coincidentally known in St. Louis when he was a postdoc fellow, had just been recruited to head up a diabetes research institute at the University of Miami. And so I came down to Miami and worked with Camillo, kind of doing the same things I was doing in St. Louis, helping with business and working in the labs here in Miami. For another 5 or 6 years, until an opportunity came up to go out to California and head up a biotechnology company startup called NovoCell in Irvine, California. This would be 1999, late 98, early 99. And so, and this was in partnership with Dr. David Sharp from St. Louis, who was the chief scientific officer of NovoCell. So we started NovoCell, and the focus was on encapsulation, a new form of encapsulation that David and I believed was the best that encapsulation could be done. So we worked on that for about 5 years, and at the end of 5 years, we had clinical approval to start a clinical trial with our technology. But then some things happened within different investors and corporate partner things, and that program kind of was semi-shelved for the time. So then I came back to Miami in 2006, and in partnership with Dr. Camillo Ricordi, we started another company here in Miami called Converge Biotech, working with new technologies that Camillo had been working on and that I had been working on separately. And so now we have two or three technologies, which I can explain in some detail if you'd like to know, that we are converging, hence the name of the company, because we've learned over the years that there's no one single technology that that we believe is going to be the cure for this disease. It's going to take multiple technologies to solve the multiple problems. And I'm talking here particularly about type 1 diabetes. And so in the 5 or 6 years that I've been here now, we've moved several technologies along to where we believe we're ready to file for what's called an IND for FDA approval to start one of these technologies in patients either at the end of this year or early next year. And we'll follow along with our other technologies so that the end product, and all of these have to go through clinical trials, as I'm sure you would understand, will take several more years, if we're successful to go through clinical trials. But at the end of the day, we will have a final new therapy for type 1 and insulin-requiring type 2 diabetics, too, I should say.
If I could just interrupt you there, Paul, I apologize. I'm clear, is the primary technology that you're trying to develop something called encapsulation?
Yes, that is the primary technology. Go ahead.
And could you explain to people what encapsulation is, number one, and number two, why is it so difficult to do?
Sure. Okay. So, as you mentioned in the beginning, we know that you can implant insulin-producing cells called islets back into a diabetic patient, and they will, in fact, work perfectly and correct the disease, actually for many years, in a number of patients who have been transplanted. The problem with that is it's twofold. One is these islets are all transplanted into the liver of the recipient right now, which is a dangerous site to put cells. And secondly, the patient has to be on full immunosuppression of their immune system. That is, taking drugs to suppress their immune system so that the transplanted cells will not be rejected by the recipient's body. These immunosuppressive drugs are very strong and powerful, and they deplete the whole immune system down to the point where the patient is now susceptible to viruses, cancers, bacterial infections, and so on. So that is not a good trade-off for diabetic patients, broadly speaking. And that has been the main holdup for advancing islet cell transplantation into millions of patients who could actually benefit from it. So in order to stop and avoid these dangerous immunosuppressive drugs, we've been working to encapsulate the islet cells in a chemical barrier that acts as a filter so that the things that the islets need to live, like oxygen and nutrients, will come through the pores of the encapsulation barrier. But the bad things that would destroy them, like immune system cells and antibiotics in the recipient patient, cannot penetrate the filter, so that now the islet cells can live and work perfectly long-term in the patient without the need for long-term drug immunosuppression that's so dangerous to the patient. That's been our goal. The second part of your question, why is it so difficult? It's because perfect kind of encapsulation system is very difficult to achieve. You need a chemical barrier that's not toxic to the cells or the patient. It has to be more or less invisible so that the immune system doesn't react to the barrier itself. It has to be uniform so that the capsule around each of the cells is uniform, and the pores that you want need to be uniform, not too big and not too small. And it has to be long-lasting and non-toxic, as I said, to the patient. So accomplishing all of those things in this kind of perfect chemical barrier has been a challenge to all of us working on encapsulation for the last, even longer than I've been in it, for 30 or more years. But we've learned a lot. We know what works and what doesn't. And the kind of encapsulation system that we're working on in Converge we call conformal coating, which you can think of as like a shrink wrap that goes around each and every individual islet. And so it's a minimum volume kind of a membrane that goes around. So the good things can diffuse in and out, and yet it keeps the immune cells and antibodies from killing the cells. So we're now working with this new system in our rodent models of diabetes, and with some success, I can say. And when we build up that data a little more, we will move up to some primate, some diabetic primate models to show that it works in a higher level mammal. And then if that data is successful, we would apply to begin a trial in humans, with this encapsulation technology.
Okay. Paul, did you say earlier in the interview that you thought that you might be able to move to human studies within the next year or two, or did I mishear you?
Yes, no, you heard correctly. But as I said, there are several technologies, encapsulation being the primary one. You're correct in that, Eric. But there are other things. When you move out of the liver, as the site that's being done right now, and you move to another safer, easier site, which is our goal, you encounter some other problems where you need to enhance the site so that it's more receptive, if you will, to the islet you're going to transplant there. So our other technologies involve doing exactly that, enhancing the site. And the site we're focused on is just what we call an omental pouch. If you can visualize in a patient, there's a kind of a lining that goes around the stomach area that's called the omentum. And you can make a little incision in the side and pull out some of this omentum, and we can put our cells right in there, wrap that back up, and patient in a very simple outpatient procedure that's very minimally invasive to the patient. And that's the site we're focused on. The trouble is you need to enhance that site. So our other technologies very quickly and simply involve putting the encapsulated islets in a scaffold that gives them a three-dimensional home, so they're not just they like to be held apart and not clumped together. So this three-dimensional scaffold will do that. And also from the scaffold, we can release certain drugs that enhance the site by down-regulating the immune system temporarily and up-regulating factors that will increase the blood flow and blood vessels to go in there, which is what these islets will need, quicker and faster. So the technology that we believe will be ready for the clinic sooner, because we've been working on it longer, is exactly this scaffold technology. And we're now at the primate level, with that technology, and expect to file with the FDA later this year to begin a trial with that single technology as early as I said, in early 2014. And so that's the first phase of what we will go into clinical trials with. And then following that, the conformal coating technology, which we've been working on less time, and so it's about a year behind the scaffold technology, we would expect to file late in 2014, be able to start that trial in late 2014 or early 2015 of that technology. So to be clear, the end goal is to marry those two technologies together at the end of the day, but you have to do the clinical trials to prove that both are safe and effective for patients.
Well, it certainly seems that it's easier said than done. So I wish you in the research.
Well, it's true. It's been a long, when I started this, I thought we'd have a cure in 10 years, but I've learned how difficult human biology is, and in particular the human immune system, which is what we're dealing with here in the type 1 autoimmune disease. And so one has to leave the immune system intact so that it protects the patient from other problems, cancers and viruses, as I said, and yet not continue to destroy the transplanted cells that need to be there to restore the normal glucose levels in these patients. And once those cells are there and they get their blood supply and they're happy and they're not destroyed, they do exactly that. They do completely control the blood glucose levels as normal in the patient without any without the need for any injections at all. And so that's our long-term goal, is to be able to do that for all the patients without the need for continuous long-term immunosuppression.
I want to thank you again for taking the time to speak with us. It's always interesting to hear about cutting-edge research from people who are actually in the trenches trying to get it done. My understanding is that if someone is, since you are in a startup phase, if someone who is a strong interest in type 1 diabetes wanted to contact you, they can do that through our email address at info@diabeteswellbeing.com. Is that correct?
That's fine. I would be happy to respond to specific questions from, again, particularly seriously interested people in particular in type 1 or, as I say, insulin-requiring type 2 patients. I'd be happy to, to be able to respond as best I can to any of those inquiries. So thank you, Eric, again, for the for giving me the opportunity to talk to some of your listeners, and, I hope this, gives some people some information about and some hope, that there's a lot of people out here working effectively a cure for this disease.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Okay. Bye now, Eric.